This is the Dear John Letters, Season 1, Episode 4, a.k.a. the fourth letter of 1 John. Brought you to this first season with various translations. You notice I've been using different translations, you know. I'm prone mostly, if you don't want me to use the Amplified, because I like it more descriptive and definitive and a little more alignment with the Greek and Hebrew, but sometimes you get lost in the simple message. And I didn't want the simple love message to get lost, because it's something that we've all heard and we don't practice. And it's the kind of thing that we need reminder of constantly, but we know it. We're know-it-alls in this area. And this is sometimes you got to be slowed down and really check yourself. And that's what this series has been, you know. It's learning how to become dear again to the one who loves us. So I know it's Picnic Sunday. I have little notes here say, watch the time. I don't feel like it, so I'll see what happens. Say, I am the church, and I need to, do my part to love. I need to do my part to love, right? To do my part to love God the way he wants it, right? All right, it's our part. We got to do our part. God did his part. God did his part, hands down, done. He doesn't have to do another thing. Not a single another thing. We can pray for more things, but if you don't get it, you still got what you got. And that was more than enough. So we got to do our part to love God the way he wants it, right? The way he wants it. Remember the things he hates? If we do the things he hates, that's not love. And right after I told the toilet seat story, I left it up in the middle of the night. Can you believe that? Man, Harold, there's humility right there, right in the face again. I got to do my part to love God, and I have to do my part, say my part, to love others. Yeah, I am the church, and I got to do my part. We often want that part done to us. Remember, love me. This message isn't about what we should be receiving, it's about what we should be giving. That's what this message is about. Love is not always easy. Anybody know that? Ever have tough love exhibited on you? Mrs. Mallory, I'm pretty sure she biffed me in the back of the head once. Why? Then she went and prayed rosary for me. She was praying. How she knew to talk to God to say, this kid, right? She knew. She tough love is saying stuff sometimes you don't want to say and definitely people don't want to hear. If you ever had tough love in your life, ever had to give out tough love? Ever have recognized that love, even though you know how to do it, is really hard to apply? I know that I should be doing this. I know it. I always know it. And why am I not doing this? Anyone else have a hard time applying love? You don't have to raise your hand on this one because this would talk about your insecurities. So you can keep them in your pocket. Ever have a hard time receiving love? And you're nodding so people are seeing your face. Welcome to humanity, right? Love isn't easy. Sometimes it's hard. Say sometimes. Yeah, Mrs. Mallory taught me some hard love lessons before. Love knows that all decisions have consequences, good and bad, right? You can make good decisions and have good consequences. You can make bad decisions and have bad consequences. Has anybody ever experienced bad consequences from bad decisions? Right. Just a few of us. How about good consequences of good decisions? Yeah, you're going somewhat, you know. God proved his love. Now you have to make a decision. He did his part. And to be honest with you, he's been doing his part a lot in our lives since that first day we met him. Think of all the little things you forgot that you prayed for that he did. Some of you are sitting here as miracles today that you're even breathed, moved, and have your being. And you know it, right? You know it. Say love. Okay. When it comes to this love topic, I want us to hear this so clearly. We should be the ones who should be recommitting to love better. We should be the ones recommitting to love better. God does not need to recommit to love you better. He's done it. Others, though you may feel like they need to recommit to loving you, you can't control what others need to do. You can only control what you need to do. And we're called to love others, too. And that's an action verb, right? I won't put a Selah there, but if you pause too long, you beat yourself up a little bit. And it's not about beating ourselves up. It's about recognizing I got love. Jesus is coming back and I got love to do. Stop waiting for everyone to love me. And I need to start loving people in my life. Because in a minute, they're gone. Everybody, the moment you took your first breath, the expiration clock was hit. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. And the only thing that's going to be remembered is how you loved. Did you love the order that love was supposed to be given? Did God get all your love? And then did you love others? So this is a repetitive message, but it's the most important message you hear from the pulpit. It is. The Dear John Letter series is so repetitive sometimes it's hard to study. It's like, man, this guy's repeating himself all the time. And I remember, he only repeats stuff that's important. And stuff that seems so simple that we already know, how often do we not do it? We got to be reminded on a regular basis. Husband's garbage can duty, anybody? She got to tell you when it's overflowing. You just walk by like, I could stack one more thing on there. The garbage could be this high. You know, push it down. You know, you're jumping on. What are you doing? I'm just, you know, saving the earth. Sure you are. Let's read First John letter before Picnic Sunday today in our love letter series. 1 John 4:1, and this is in the NLT. Dear friends, remember the dearness is the thing we're supposed to be working on. Everything's dear in this letter. This is dear John, the God called the beloved one, right? And he's addressing everybody as dear. Anybody have any dear friends that like you would, the kind you'd take a bullet for? Yeah, I can't say this anymore. We used to say it this way, the kind you'd bury a body for, you know, you can't say them saved. No, it's not how that works anymore. Yeah, I see that hand, you know. But dear friends, you know. It says, dear friends, do not believe everyone. I won't stop there, but it's tempting to. Don't believe everyone. Don't believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them. You must test them. You must test them. Make them prove who they say they are, and let it be seen in their life on a regular basis. Tested over time and over circumstance. Test them. Lots of people say things. It says, test them and see if the spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. There's many false prophets with churches too. I'm not throwing bus. I'm just saying that I've seen people trying to prophesy to Miley recently. I'm not calling them. Their intent was, but I know it wasn't the Spirit of God, and they tested out not that way. Right? Dude, you can be dangerous given these words. If God told me this, or God said this, or and you use that, and both you, if you're the one saying it, and the person's being said to, are in danger. But they're in less danger than the person saying they speak it from God when they're not. Because there's like one sin. I believe there's one sin that says that's really not forgivable. If you're going to stand in that sin, did you ever hear that? It's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Saying he said something, God gave you the authority to do something, and you just try to manipulate people using God. He said, that's how you're going to roll. It's going to be hard for you on Judgment Day. But I said, Lord, Lord, I know I heard it. And I did this and that in your name. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you were, Jack. I saw you misusing my name to enslave people and to manipulate people. You know, I just picture like the Willy Wonka thing hits the button. You know, it falls down like rotten egg, bad egg. You know, test over time and circumstance. Do they produce good fruit? These people will say that they're speaking from God. What's good fruit look like? Well, I've got a slide. I think I have a slide, right? Inspect for the fruit that God expects to see. Inspect for the fruit that God expects to see in someone's life. Now, sometimes we think, wow, they're fruitful. Why? Because their house is $6 million. That doesn't mean they're fruitful. They could be prosperous or they could be in debt, but that doesn't mean they're fruitful. Right? Could be in debt. Speaking of fruit, we're going to talk more on it later, but I want us to recognize that it's time to look at our lives. And are we giving love and are we producing fruit? Because that's really all that matters. I was talking to a young person this week, and I said, give me the top three things you're worried about. And that blew my mind. Blew my mind. Number two was Israel. I went, what? I said, number two, why? Because it looks like every day of my life is a chapter of Revelation. I'm not saying it is or isn't, but we better pay attention. You know, some of us live through a few Cold War crises in our life. The Russians are coming. They've been coming since Dolph Lundgren got beat up by Rocky. You know, I'm just saying. 1 John 4, 2 through 3, the message. Here's how you must test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus who came as actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than you thought. Isn't that how the news feels? Here it is, sooner than you thought. Right? It's making everyone a little uncomfortable. Everyone in our society is a little more uncomfortable than they've ever been. It's not just because of the price hikes. It's because the world, you feel the tension in the air. You can't walk anywhere. That's like cutting it with a knife, right? So are we testing and looking for authentic Spirit of God during this time? We should be seeking the Spirit of God, but the authentic Spirit of God. We should be, right? I want to paraphrase 1 Thessalonians. It's not on there. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, when it comes to anointing leadership in your life, his word indicates that we should know those who labor among us. Know them. See if they're worthy of honor. Test them. And if they are, honor them. But there's a test I want to read out of Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and I think that's next. If the Holy Spirit is in us, then we're going to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Someone says, well, I have the Holy Spirit, and you don't see any of these fruit? So this is important, right? It's important. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love. Love, unselfish concern for others' love. Now let's hear that again. Unselfish concern for others. Let us hear it as a giver, not a receiver. How are you doing it given love? Like, how are you doing it given love? How God lays it out for you, if you're reading your Bible and said, man, he hates this, so I'm going to work on not doing that because he hates it. I love him more than that. I don't want him to hate the things I'm doing. I want to be dear. And I'm changing my life to become dear to God. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with giving love away to other people? Well, I'm not talking the guy in the corner who's got his cardboard sign out and you threw $5 at it. I'm talking the everyday love that you're supposed to be giving out to the people he gave you every day. How are we doing, right? It's time to become dear again, right? It's the first order of business. Getting dear, becoming dear with God again. It says this, love, unselfish concern for others. Love, joy. How's your joy level, man? That's the first thing that gets stolen, right? Every time I read the news, they call it doom scrolling. I don't do it anymore. I call it basketball scrolling. And it's just kind of doom because I'm looking at the Suns going, are you kidding me? So it's the same thing, but you know. Just don't even talk, Dad, move on. Don't even talk about it. Love, joy, peace, that inner style of peace. How's that rolling? Patience. Patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. How we act while waiting. If you see us driving down Highway 60 going towards the airport, I'm never the driver anymore. Because this is an area I need work on. So my resolution is to humble myself and give the keys to Dr. Heidi. And it's a much more peaceful experience for everyone. Patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Say, give love. Kindness. Are you being kind? I'm not hearing of people being kind to you. So-and-so didn't hug me when I came into church today. Jody Wilson-Croft made a raspberry face at me. Cody just, you know, I went to hug him, but he just knuckled me and then kicked me, you know. No, that's not what this is saying. Did you get kindness? It says, how are you doing it? Giving kindness. are we in general considered a kind person? Like if people were to write your obituary, they put Mrs. Mallory down as kind. Understatement. But if people wrote our obituary, would there be in there kindness? Man, one of the attributes of that cat was he was kind. How about goodness? You know, I keep hearing that song, what is love, what is it good for? Yeah, it's good for something. You missed it, Jimmy Brown. It is real love, right? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Here's the hard one. You ready? Self-control. Self-control. I have some good advice. You ready? It's not even part of the message. Here's good advice. If you don't have control of yourself in some kind of area in your life, like if you don't have some kind of self-control in your money or your marriage, your kids or your fitness or your fantasy football, whatever it is, if you don't have self-control in that area, in that particular area, then don't give advice in that area. Don't do it. You'll notice I never give diet advice since 1992. I don't give diet advice. Since 92, I don't do that. But that doesn't mean I don't give advice during crisis when leaders call me and they need assistance on how to lead during crisis. I also give advice to marriages on how to lay my life down for my bride. I can give advice in that, but I can't give you good diet advice, obviously. So how are you doing? I don't know. You have to ask Dr. Heidi how I'm doing. I think I'm going to be plus. Yeah, I'll take an A plus, but it's not true. I got to keep working hard. You know, I think we need to start hearing the messages on how we're applying it. It says, do we have goodness, kindness, self-control, patience, joy? Against such things, there's no law. Such things as goodness, kindness, self-control, and patience, when you work on those things in your life, guess what happens? You become dear. When there's someone in your life that acts that way and you see those characteristics, you go, man, I want to be around him. And that Glenn's a happy fella. He's nice. He opens doors for ladies. He's a good dude. He's very kind. You want to be around people like that. You're just like, I want to be around him. Right? Are we becoming dear? Look at your neighbor. Say this. Say, come on, man. Be dear, will ya? Come on, man. Be dear, will ya? Not be a deer, Nick. Not like Bambi, that stupid Bambi. No, be a deer, not be the deer. Right? 1 John 4:4 in the Amplified. 4:4 in the Amplified. Little children, believers, dear ones. Dear ones, you are of God and you belong to Him and you have already overcame them. All right, I'm going to prove this right now. Is anyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are in a pit of despair and terribleness, please stand for me. Yeah. Yeah, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior any place in your life and you knew you needed Him desperately, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to assume the rest of you don't know Him, and I want to talk about that today. If that's true of you. So here's what this word is saying. You've already overcome. Right there. You've already overcome. Now, how many people looking back realize you had a lot of stuff you had to overcome between that moment and now? A lot of stuff. Right? We're called to overcome stuff. That's who we are. It's time to be the church that overcomes again. And the way we do it is get our love act together. Right? You can go ahead and sit down. It's time to get our love act together. Right? You belong to Him. You've already overcome Him now. Because, take note, here's a power verse. You ready? This is one of those Christian power verses that you see on stickers, bumpers, you know, they're on mugs, and they're on shirts, you know, yeah, they're on shirts. It says, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I used to say this, you would have thought I was like a special needs kid when I got saved, right? Because I was mumbling to myself all the time. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. You can overcome this. And I felt like, are you talking to yourself? Yeah. Why? Right now I got a lot of anxiety. There's stuff I got to overcome. And God said, if I believe this, it was true. So I'm going to start putting this into my life so it's true. And I'm going to keep chewing it every day until I believe and know that it's true for me. It's a powerful verse if you get a hold of that. I want to get this t-shirt made. I've seen it around. It's not an original idea, but it says, I can't, but I know a guy. I can't, but I know a guy. Right? Greater than me. Help me out of so many circumstances. I've seen him put things back together again. I go, that's Humpty Dumpty. And all the king's horses and all the king's men ain't putting that back together again. And I'm like, well, it was just a tragedy. And God goes, oh, somehow. And you go, oh my goodness, they still married. Oh my goodness. He's a pastor? Oh my goodness. 1 John 4:5. They who teach twisted doctrine, are of the world and belong to it. Therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world with its immoral freedoms and baseless theories. Anybody resonate with that? See any immoral freedoms out in the world and baseless theories?
Right.
With its immoral freedoms and baseless theories, check this out, demanding compliance with their opinions. School teachers, feel any pressure to demand a compliance? Yeah. With what? Immoral theories? Oh, I know. I touched it. I'm putting my fingers all up in there. I'm making a mess. With its immoral freedoms and baseless theories, demanding compliance with their opinions and ridiculing the values of the upright. And the world listens closely and pays attention to them. Anybody see that? Feel like it was written this morning?
Yeah.
1 John 4:6. We are from God, and whoever knows God through personal experience listens to us. That sounds arrogant. Let me break it down. If you know God, this is what he's saying. If you know God and you've really experienced him, then you should easily recognize when I'm talking. That's what John's saying. He said, if you know God and you experience God, then when I say something, you know that's God. Because I know God, he told me to say this, so I said it. Because you didn't recognize it, that's not on me. Well, you could be a false prophet. Test my spirit. Test my fruit. Test my life. And John's saying, I'm a dear one. He said, I don't get bent out of shape when people don't recognize that. If they don't know God personally, they don't see me. They don't hear me. Right? Whoever is not of God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth, motivated by God, and the spirit of error, motivated by Satan. 1 John 4:7 through 8. Beloved, say that's me. I'm becoming beloved. Say it. I'm becoming beloved. Bob, you're becoming beloved. Huh, he says. Good. Always wanted to be beloved. You know? Let us unselfishly love. Let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. Seek the best for one another. I used to practice that with leaving out the best piece of pizza for Dr. Heidi. Now it doesn't mean anything because I can't eat it anymore anyways. But I go, which one's the best? There's stuff I'm failing at. But I'm going to tell you the stuff I'm not failing at so I can look really good. I try to get the washcloth out for her at night. She don't have to, you know, hang it on her little hook so she don't got to go because she's not out here. Been married over 30 plus years and she still never remembers to bring her washcloth, so I should do it, you know. Seek the best for her. That's the best washcloth. Yeah, but that's my wife. I don't need a washcloth. Shoot, I didn't know what a washcloth was until I got married. It's, you know, just use that, you know. And anyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. Say personal experience. God needs to be experienced personally. That's what he's looking for. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. That's ouchy. Falling in love and maintaining love is hard, right? You ready for another power verse? You ready? This is the power verses of power verses. This is the one that's everywhere. You ready? For God is love. Right there in the bottom part. God is love. God is love. And then it says this, he is the originator of love. Who originated love? God. Who made love? God. Who defines love? God. There would be no love without God. God is love, and he defines what love is. So the world wants to define what love is. But unfortunately, lots of time what they define what love is stuff what God hates. And it gets everybody confused. God is love, the originator of love, and it is an endearing attribute of his nature. Right? God sets the love standard because he's the OG. He made it. You can't redefine what he made. He's sovereign. He defines what love is, and he defines what love isn't, and he defines what he hates, and he defines what makes things beloved, and only he does that. And the problem is we get so caught up in being powerful humans who make decisions and choices, and it bleeds into the church where we think we can make our own decisions on what love is and isn't, and that we can't. And that's why we're a wreck most of the time. And then we get caught up with, well, I'm going to church so someone will love me. I hope that happens, but what if you went to church to love somebody? Remember, say, I am the church. We get in the give me mode a lot. And this season, Lord, say, I'm looking for something from you, and I want it to look like love. Right? God sets the love standard. 1 John 4:9. By this, the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent his one and his only begotten Son. Anybody an only child? Stand up for me for a second. Now, if your parents are here, let me know. Are your parents here, young man? No. Are your parents here, sir? Yeah. Good. Anybody have children? Stand up. You have children. Stand up. Would you care to sacrifice any of your children for someone else who's pretty terrible right now? Anybody? Imagine that. So we hear it, God loved his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him. He gave his only and his best. And we couldn't even dream of it. We forget that, don't we? That's greater love than I can understand. I don't understand that kind of love, to be honest with you. I love you all, but I wouldn't take any of my kids out for you. I'm sorry, I just wouldn't. I love you, though. I give my life up for you in a heartbeat. But God so loved the world, he gave us one and only. So let it sting again a little bit. Go ahead and sit down. His only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind into the world, so that what? We might live through him. That's the original love message. He's the OG of love, right? God showed us, and he shows us, and he proved it with great sacrifice. So he shows up. So maybe it's time that we show out. He's shown up. Maybe it's time we show out. Is it in there? Is it really? Yeah. Are you loving God first, Pastor Sean? I hear anything first in my life. You know what? There are times that I even put people above you. That's not proper order. Putting Dr. Heidi above God makes her an idol. I become an idol worshiper. And he said that doesn't make him happy. But if I love God first and he has everything, she'll get the right amount she needs. She'll be the priority when it's time for her to be a priority, because he would say, hey, she's a priority right now. But I want to go and I want to do, and I don't want to get out and get that washcloth. The garbage is stacked just fine right now. It's perfectly engineered. God shows up, maybe it's our turn to show out. 1 John 4:10 in the Amplified. In this is love. I hear that kind of like Yoda talk. In this is love, you know. Or maybe it's Marley, is this love? I don't know. Is this love? Is this love? Is this love that I'm feeling? Right? in this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, fancy word, to be the anointing sacrifice and the satisfying offering for our sins. Right? When you're not feeling very lovey, remember that. Like, that's easy. I have to take it down. When I'm not feeling real lovey, or I feel like I'm being mistreated and I need love and I should be, where's my washcloth? Right? I got to boil it down. Well, hey, minute, someone loves you. He did everything for you. Fulfilling God's requirement for justice, justice against sin, and practicing and placating his wrath. Thank God. Why wrath, though? Why would he have to worry about wrath? Well, we've been talking about it because he hates sin. It's the opposite of love. So when people choose that, they're choosing wrath. You can't be, I can't believe God would... There would be a hell. You don't got to choose it. Right? There's the North Pole. You don't got to live there either. But it's here. Right? It's a choice that we make. Right? The good news, the gospel fact is that Jesus took his wrath. Right? Will we accept it and love him back by our follow? Not kind of the Facebook follow like you just liked it. Yeah, that's cute. You know, like, I'm talking the kind that you shared and put on your wall, kind of love, you know. Will we recommit to love and follow with all our hearts and all our strength? Will we recommit to prove our love to him and to other people? It's a question we've got to ask ourselves. 1 John 4:11-12. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. You know how people know that God exists? The number one way people know that God's love exists is through his church. Say, I am the church. So the number one way that God gives love to people in their life is you. But I'm so low on love. Go fill up. Well, if Nana would just hug me. No, Nana's not the source. But if Yvonne would just get her crap together. No, Yvonne's not the source. We've got to go to the source and get filled up with that love again, because that's what we have to give out. That's what the world's lacking. That's what we're lacking. And then he asks us to practice it with people. How many know that sometimes people are prickly? How many know that sometimes I'm prickly? Yeah, thank you. Jody's like, Pastor, I've seen it, you know. 1 John 4:13-16. This is how we know we are living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He has given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves, right? It's got to be seen. You have to experience God for yourself. You can't make up stuff. If you're making up stuff, people know. You ever took new jobs and you didn't know all your stuff? And someone asks you a question, you're like, at Starbucks, might they ever make up something? You're just like, yeah. That's like your second day at Starbucks. Like, make me a turtle monkey macchiato. You're like, true, turtle monkey macchiato. You know, you just, oh, how's that? There's no mint in it. Of course not. Linda, did you put mint in this? You know, you just mess with people. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. We also have seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father has sent his Son into the world. We commit to do our best to live that out. We're the church, right? Everyone, say everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously. You know, Christianity is a participation sport. Christianity isn't just sitting up on a pew, on a chair, listen to a podcast. 6, 5, 7 days a week, listen to Christian music. That doesn't make it. Participating does. And loving other people. And sometimes loving other people is giving them space. Ever been told I need space? I violate space all the time. I walk into rooms talking to her. She's got a computer going and texting stuff. I'm like, hey. Oh, sorry, baby. I come in talking, you know. Participation, continuously an intimate relationship with God. Participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. Love takes intimacy continuously. Remember, and we talked about, I picked on the couple that's getting married soon, but we recognize that, right? You can't just have quality or quantity. You need both to maintain love. You know? You need both. When did you guys get married? What year? So in 2003? If she gave you a dynamite kiss on 2003 and didn't give you another dynamite kiss to this day, could you just live off that? Jay's like, no way. I want dynamite kiss every day. You know, he's like, dynamite kiss. You know. Yeah, because you want quality and quantity. That's what God wants. He wants to spend time with us, and he wants it to be quality and deep and intimate. And when people get with you, they need to get that deep, intimate God out of you. Because you put him in there, right? No greater thing. We all know it so well, it says. We've embraced it. Have we embraced it? We have embraced it, heart, soul. And this love comes from God. Like he's saying, we've decided we're going to intimately participate in our relationship with God, and I'm going to find as many other people as I can, I'm going to give that away. And that's what they're calling Christianity. That's how Christianity is supposed to look. That's what we're supposed to give. That's what we're supposed to give away. 1 John 4:17 through 19. And as we live, I'm doing okay. And as we live in God, our love grows. That's true. I'm better at love now than I first knew him. I'm not what I should be, but I'm better than I used to be. Right? My love is growing. In some areas, it's taken a while. And that's a me problem. Not a God problem. It's a me problem. I got to grow it, right? Grows more perfect. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Are you afraid? What if right in the middle of service, in the middle of worship, grande, adios, whatever. I don't ever see you. Whatever, you know, we're right in the middle. We're just getting it done, worshiping God, and all of a sudden, boom. Sky cracks, room shakes, it's split in half, and boom, we're up in the throne room, and you're standing right in front of him. Are you terrified? I hope not. You don't have to be. You don't have to be terrified. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment if we let God's love grow in us. You don't got to be afraid. But we can face him with confidence. Imagine facing him with confidence. Not cockiness. Confidence. You know, the most confident statement I ever heard in my life. Probably caused some rebellion, but it was beautiful. My granddaughter was probably 2.5, maybe 3. And she was asking for something. I have no idea what it was. I wasn't in the room. And she was asking Mimi, because Mimi and I were watching her. And she said, can I have this? And Mimi's like, no. And she's making a smart decision, probably for no. All of a sudden, my granddaughter got up off the couch, walked down the hallway, and my wife said, Elizabeth May, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to ask Papa, and he'll say yes. Promise you that. Confidence. And she walked in, and before Dr. Hattie said, don't say yes, I went, sure, baby, you can take that home. And she's like, I told you so. But imagine standing like that with your father. Even when you screw up. Yeah, I screwed up, but my father, he always lets me back home. And he picks me up, and he says the hard things to me. Because that's a tough love sometimes, isn't it? This message isn't easy. The love letter series, come on. If you like them, cheese grating you. I'd pick out something else. I go, picnic Sunday, we're in the middle of the love letters. I do something more fun. You'd be like, yeah, picnic Sunday. Not like, man, I got love. I hope you go to the picnic and love better. Daisy, how many hugs do you want? 50, 60, 75, 150? She wants 150 hugs. So if you see her out there, just lay it on, you know, lay it on. With confidence, because we, what? we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Oh, I'm the church, but I don't know how I'm doing with that. Sometimes, right? Sometimes I walk through Walmart with, I don't want to see anybody. Nobody I know or don't know. I wish I was outside picking my groceries up outside right now. You know how much love I give away when I'm at Walmart? Zero. I got to work on that. I give out zero amounts of love, John. Walmart just takes and takes from me. You know. Such love has no fear because perfect love, power verse, expels all fear. Perfect love expels all fear. For if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows us that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. If we're afraid of God's punishment and you're his kid, there may be consequences. Man, consequences. Doesn't mean you lost love. Sometimes God allows consequences of our decisions in our life to wake us up. Because he loves us, right? Any parents ever have to watch a kid make a mistake? You have to watch, right? Because you know if you interfere, you're not going to learn a lesson. You know? Like, I told him, don't do that. Don't do that. You know what? Let him do it. See what happens. Anybody? Any parent? Yeah. Yeah, it happens, right? We love each other because he loved us first. So notice how often in God's Dear John letters, we've read this over and over again. Seriously, listen. How often is it repeated that he's talking to us about this? God wants to know us how important this is. He's got five books, five chapters in this love letter series, and he keeps repeating himself over and over and over. Why? Because it's so important and we just don't get it. We just have t-shirts made, but we just don't get it. Right? It's time we're the church that we get it. And we give it away as quick as possible. Love's got to be shown. God's on repeat. 1 John 4:20. If anyone says I love God and hates, works against his Christian brother, he's a liar. Works against his Christian brother, his Christian spouse, his Christian friend, his Christian sister, his Christian neighbor, fill in the blank. For the one, God's speaking on a personal level, right? For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him is a commandment. He's emphasizing, he's repeating himself over and over again. Then he lays down, remember, it's a commandment. This isn't a gray area. This is an absolute, right? That the one who loves God should also unselfishly love. The one who loves God should also unselfishly love his brother and seek the best for him, right? So at the picnic, you should be fighting each other over who gives the best piece of pie away. No, you should take the best piece. No, you should take the best piece of pie. And I'll come right in there and go, thank you. So, that's a great piece of pie. I do call dibs on a piece of apple pie. I just call dibs. Okay. But seek the best for other people. Are we unselfishly loving? This is what I'm hoping that we do today. And I'm going to close with this and we can go picnic. If you'd like to make a fresh commitment to love God the way he deserves, I'm going to ask you to stand because it does two things. It puts you in a place of accountability before God. It shows you have courage to stand up before people, and you're not ashamed of that. And also, I want to pray for you. If you feel like you got to make a fresh commitment to love God back the way he deserves it, stand. Maybe you need to make a fresh determination to be dear to God and dear to others. Maybe your dear to others meter's been broken. And if your dear to others meter's been broken, I ask you to stand too because we need help. Father, it's impressive to see so many people standing because I think this is the best church I've ever seen or been a part of. But I love these folks so intently. I'm so impressed as one of the shepherds in this house of these people. I can't imagine what it's going to look like when they love you more. I can't imagine what it's going to look like when they love people more. I can't imagine what the world's going to look like when these folks do more, because they're already so impressive to me. So, Father, I pray that you pour out on New Season Christian Fellowship and everyone we know, love, and care about, every church and people that we're affiliated with, more love to you this year, Lord. We'd pour out more love to you in any way you can snap your fingers, and we're on it. No matter how hard a thing you're saying, we're listening. No matter how difficult a task, we're about it. Lord, we're going to show you this year. We're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt how much we love you this year. And Lord, empower us by your Spirit. You said we need your Spirit to prophesy and your Spirit to see the waters part. Lord God, most of us admit we just need your Spirit to love. There's a whole world of dying people in our homes and in our blocks and in our Walmarts and in our parks that need authentic love. Produce that in us this year, Lord. Help us step to that. In Jesus' name, amen.